And this morning, take your Bibles, remain standing. Psalms 107. Psalms chapter 107 this morning. Read verses 8 through 15 responsibly. We'll read two other verses in the same chapter. Psalms chapter 107. I'll begin reading in verse number 8. You'll join me on verse 9. We'll read all the way through verse number 15. Psalms chapter 107, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for their goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." Now, if you will look down at verse number 21. Verse number 21, we'll read this together. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." Well, lastly, we'll read verse number 31 together. Verse number 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And let's pray.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, it's there to meet our every need. As it says in the book of Job, it's more important than our necessary food. Lord, we need you today. We stand before you sinners. We stand before you needy. I pray that you'd help us, give us from your words what we need today to help us with our lives. Lord, change us today. Help us not to be just stirred, but help us to be changed. Help us to walk out differently than the way we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to help you today. I mean this. If you could just grasp the truth that I have for you today, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize your attitude. If you'll just listen, God wants us to praise him for his goodness. We see four times here, just in Psalm 107, that God says that we are to praise him for his goodness. Now, listen to me. It never ceases to amaze me how sinfully negative we Christians can be with God and his goodness. Let me say that again. We are sinfully selfish about God and his goodness. Let me just stop and say this. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Listen to these statements. And this is where we'll jump into the sermon. God is good whether or not my circumstances are good. God is good whether or not things are going good for me or not. We have no right to judge God or his goodness based on our circumstances. God is just as good when it rains and when it's cloudy as when it's sunshine and warm. God's just as good when it's snowy and blowy as it is when it's warm and sunny. Our circumstances does not decide God's goodness. God is just as good at death and funerals as he is at births. The circumstances of sinners' lives does not dictate God's goodness. Let me say that again. The circumstances of sinners' lives does not dictate God's goodness. God does not control the circumstances of life. Listen to that very carefully. Hello, there we go. We've got this mentality, and a lot of it has come through bad doctrine for hundreds and hundreds of years, that, well, God's in control of everything. That's not true. God's not in control of you when you're sinning. God's not in control of the consequences of our sin. God does not decide everything that happens to you in life. Now, what God put in motion, the sun came up, it'll go down, the tides will keep their course, the world will keep running itself, and the things God put in motion, he keeps going for us. But the actual circumstances of life, quit blaming God for. We took that away from him when we started sinning. Now listen to this very carefully. Because of that, we are so sinful and so selfish. We want to judge God and his goodness based on how we see life, or how life affects me. When we finally accept that we are not the center or the focus of life, it is only then that we begin to see the goodness of God. I'm going to preach at you today. I'm going to preach at me today. This isn't about the person sitting next to you or in front of you or beside you. It's about everybody in front of me and behind me. But it's only when we begin to realize that we are not the center of life that we begin to see how good God is. Someone can be good, kind, and loving to hundreds of people. But if they treat us bad, then we think they're a bad person. Do you know that person that you consider is your enemy has people that love them and they're good to some people? They're not all bad. Say, well, I think they are. No, you think they're bad because they're bad to you. That doesn't mean they're bad to everybody. And maybe because of your attitude, that's the reason they're bad to you. Ouch. We truly are selfish by how we view life as only the way we see it or as it happens to me. God wants us to learn to praise him for his goodness. God says four times here in the book of Psalms, chapter 107, praise him for his goodness to the children of men. Now watch this. When we get our eyes off of our own life and our own circumstances, then we can say God is good all the time. We got the news Wednesday about Mindy's baby. Thursday night late, she went into the full miscarriage and she was facing a DNC this next week, but didn't have to because Thursday night, God took care of it naturally through her body. Say, preacher, was God good? Yes, God's still good. Amen. God's goodness did not change because that took place. Everybody doing okay? I didn't say the situation was good, but God's goodness didn't change. Did our hearts hurt? Did we hurt for them? Of course we did. But that didn't change God's goodness. Well, preacher, I don't think that's fair. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. God's still good. God is still good. I'll promise you, if I took a poll in here this morning, probably 40 to 60% of the ladies in this room have gone through something very similar. She's not the only person in the world that's happened to. Now, if we're not careful, we think that. We think it's so bad because it happened to our family. Can I tell you something? It happens a lot. I've counseled hundreds of ladies and marriages through this. Hundreds and hundreds. And I think I could probably say over 1,000. It's not an uncommon thing. It doesn't make it any better. It doesn't make the pain go away. It doesn't make that sting go away. But may I say something? God is still good. I was working on this sermon, had the sermon done before all this took place. I really did. To be honest with you, kind of didn't want to preach it because I had to preach myself. But I'm preaching to myself today. God's still good. Amen. Now watch this. Everything may not be going well in my life, but God's good no matter how things are going in my life. Let me say that again. Everything in my life might not be going well, but God's good whether it's going good to me or not. God's goodness is not based on you. God's goodness is not based on me. We are not the barometer of God's goodness. Let me say that again. We humans are not the barometer of God's goodness. We want to be, but we're not. Other sinners are not the measure of God's goodness. Because we are all sinners, living amongst other sinners, not all the circumstances of life are going to be good. God knows the more that we learn to praise him for his goodness, maybe the less we'll look at life through our own eyes and look at how good he is. Now listen to me. Let me show you how to live seeing God is good no matter how good or how bad the circumstance you are in. Your heart hurts today, God's good. You woke up happy today, God's good. You woke up grouchy today, God's still good. Amen, Brother Josh? That was not in reference to him or his wife, by the way, one of his children. Inside joke, all right? Got to cover my tracks on that one, or it might be a bad day. can I tell you something? It doesn't matter if it rains. It doesn't matter if it's sunshine. It doesn't matter if it's 10 below zero or if it's 100 degrees outside. God's still good. God's goodness does not change based on how it affects us. Now, number one, God is always good because he is perfect and holy. Can I tell you something? God's not a sinner. We are. Aren't you glad you don't have a God made out of wood or stone or something that man made? I am so sick and tired of people talking about how Christianity is so bad. Isn't it amazing? They talk about how bad Christianity is, but they expect us to live better than they do. Ooh. Well, I thought you were a Christian. I thought Christians were supposed to live this way. Oh, yeah. But what makes it right for you to live like an idiot? Amen. Just because you smash ashes on your head doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Brother Aaron asked me Wednesday what time our Ash Wednesday service was. I said 7 o'clock p.m. Just like it is every Wednesday. And we didn't need the palm fronds burnt from last Palm Sunday either, amen? Which I didn't know till about 2 years ago that that's what they use them for. I just thought they let them, I didn't even know what that was for. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? God's good because he's not a sinner. He is all good. There is no corruption found in him. God can't be anything but good. Take your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. I want to show you something here, and I'm about to shout. Some of you are going to say, oh me, while I say amen. But James chapter 1, look at verse number 12. I'm going to teach you a little scripture here that you don't quite understand scripturally. Some of you. James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, watch this, of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, every good gift, notice the word good there, every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now watch this for a moment here. God does not tempt or test us with bad circumstances. God is not going to bring a sinful situation to you just to see how you're going to react. God would be evil then. Well, God's just testing me here. How about you say you're testing yourself? No man's tested of evil unless he is lusting something he should not want. Very similar to covetousness, like we learned in Sunday school. It's when you want something that's not yours to have, or you're looking at something you should not be looking at because you don't have the wherewithal to satisfy it morally or rightfully, then you say, well, God's testing me. That's like saying, I'm going on a diet, but I'm going to bake chocolate cake and chocolate cookies, and I'm going to have all these desserts sitting at the house, but I'm going to test myself and see what kind of will I have. You're an idiot. It ain't going to happen. I know you don't have M&Ms, you have WWs. You just turn them upside down and it's the same thing, all right? Now, wait a minute. God does not tempt us with the circumstance. Y'all like that one, didn't you? I'm watching the ladies. Oh, that was pretty good. Bad circumstances are from us sinners, not from God. Quit blaming God for the bad circumstances of life.
Amen.
Did you know losing that child wasn't God's fault? Did you know your loved one that passed wasn't God's fault?
Right.
It's us as sinners.
Amen.
Quit blaming God.
Right.
Folks, I have family too. I have heartaches too. I love people deeply. But I love God, and I get tired of God getting blamed for everything that we do as sinners. May I defend God for a moment? It's not God's fault that we face the consequences of our sin here on earth.
That's right.
God's good even at a funeral.
That's right.
God's good at the loss of an infant.
Right.
God's good at the loss of a senior citizen.
Amen.
God's good no matter what's going on in my life.
Amen.
God's good when Dr. Anderson calls me. But God will be good when I get the phone call that Dr. Anderson goes to heaven. Everybody okay?
Right.
Just this week, I've learned of 5 deaths since I've been here last Sunday. God's still good.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't say those circumstances. And by the way, people that I know and love. But God's still good. Now listen to me very carefully here. All good comes from God. It doesn't come from me. Look at James chapter 1 again, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Did you know you couldn't buy me a gift as good as God can get me? So don't worry about it. Watch this. Even when I try to do something good for someone and I try to give them a gift, did you know it's still tainted by sin because I'm a sinner? That's why, okay, this wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to preach it anyway. That's what's the purpose of me making an announcement about ladies with the blessing board. Well, I don't want to participate anymore because I don't like some of the things I get. You're selfish. How about you learn to receive, because every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. You say, well, I might not be able to use this. Okay, but you might be able to use it to be a blessing to somebody else. Every once in a while, somebody will, one of the children will do something for preacher. Little Hunter did a couple pictures for me a couple months ago. I said, I'm going to take these and take them to my office. And every time I open a certain drawer, I see those pictures from Hunter. And I think of him. Little Charlie made me a little, I guess it's weaving, is that the right word? It wasn't knitted, but it's yarn, but it was woven together. And I put my coffee cup on it every day. Every day I set my coffee cup down, I think of Charlie. The coffee cup I have, one of the families in our church got me, and I use it every day. And every once in a while, every time I see it, I think of them. I have suits or ties that have been given to me by people, and as I wear them, I think of the person that gave it to me. It's not the gift, it was the love behind it that means more to me than anything. Last week, the Heenies had gotten back from Tennessee, and they had gotten me a tie. Well, it just happened that it was going to match the suit that I had on. I said, I'm going to wear this tonight. They came back Sunday night. Little Scarlett saw that tie, and her eyes got as big as could get. She said, look, Mommy, he's got my tie on. I said, no, that's my tie. Because she was the one that gave me the bag that had the tie in it. Now, wait a minute. I can't tell you I would have actually picked that tie out, but I sure do love it because somebody loved me enough to get it for me. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Oh, was it given through somebody? Yes, but it came because God put it in their heart to do it. When somebody doesn't give you what you want, quit being so selfish, accept the gift and go on.
Amen.
Maybe it's the love behind it. You've heard me say, when you go through bad times, people are miserable comforters.
Amen.
They're going to tell you things that don't help you. Sometimes it hurts. There are people in this room, Brother James, I told you, there are going to be people that tell you things after Miss Lily went to heaven, it's going to hurt. But just accept the fact they said something. Because they don't know how to comfort very well. Forget what they say and just accept the fact they said something. Amen, Miss Loretta? Now, sometimes you got to filter it, but it's all right. I've counseled that for years. That's why I try to teach you as a church how to help people that are going through tough times. That's why it's better to say, what do you need? How can I help you? Rather than, well, how you doing? You know how they're doing. They're hurting. Don't make them tell you everything all over again. That they have to relive it each time. They don't need to be reliving it. They need to keep moving on. I have used this a dozen times this week. Psalm 23:6 says, yea, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Did you know goodness and mercy cannot follow you unless you're walking?
That's right.
If you're not moving, there's no goodness and no mercy. Amen. When you stop to have a pity party, there's no goodness and mercy.
Amen.
You stop and stop in your tracks to grieve death. By the way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The very next verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. As you go through that valley, the key is this, keep moving.
Amen.
If you keep moving, goodness will come, mercy will come. Say, I don't feel like it, preacher. I don't feel like it either, but keep on moving. Goodness and mercy will follow.
Amen.
It may be way back there, but it will follow. We as sinners want to be our own God. Therefore, we want to decide good and bad, right and wrong for ourselves. Isn't that what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with in Genesis chapter 3? In the day thou eatest, you could be as gods, knowing good and evil. How do you know what you're facing isn't good for you right now? I don't know about you, but some of the toughest things I've gone through have been the best things for me. I wouldn't have chosen them, but at some time, we have to go through tough times. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Oh. Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25 say, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Oh, oh, oh. When we start deciding what is right and wrong, good or bad, did you know medicine isn't good? Sometimes it tastes really bad. I've had a little episode with what I thought was my hip. I actually went to an orthopedic surgeon this week thinking I was going to have my hip replaced. Well, I had x-rays done and he came back and he said, Pastor, your hip's better than it was 8 years ago. It's not supposed to be. He said, I've never seen somebody your age have bone improve. I said, shut up. He said, that's okay. You're only a year older than me. He said, your problem's not your hip. You got a problem in your back. So I'm going to have an MRI. But they gave me these things called steroids. No. It's just a tiny little pill. And I have no taste or smell still. But when that thing hits my tongue, I'm glad I can't taste. I don't know what it tastes like, but it sure does something to my tongue. It's bad. I told my wife yesterday, I said, I'm glad I can't taste because it's bad enough with no taste. It's like somebody put a drop of battery acid on your tongue or something. I mean, it's just... Now, wait a minute. It doesn't taste very good, but I promise you this, within a few hours, the pain's gone. I could live on that stuff the way this is. Hoorah, here we go. I know you can't, don't get me wrong, but man, I've had things quit hurting that have been hurting for a long time. They say I've got a herniated disc and some arthritis and stuff in my back, and we'll figure it out and go forward. Sometimes medicine doesn't taste good, but the results are good. Maybe that thing you don't think is good will turn into something that is good. My mama passed away a year ago, December. You know that? We put the little booklet out about death. I preached that sermon, helped so many people. We put the booklet out. Can I tell you something? That little booklet's gone all over. Brother Randy sent it to somebody in the Congo. Yeah, that's out in the middle of Africa. All right? Where? It's not West Virginia. and it's not the Conga line, all right? But I've had missionaries get it. I've had people from all over the country and pastors send them out. You'd be shocked at what God's doing with that one little booklet. Now, wait a minute. Did I enjoy my mom's death? No. Do I miss my mom? That's a dumb question. Do you miss yours? Now, wait a minute. But why not take what came our way and turn it into something good? My mom would be very happy that people are being helped because of it. What a way to honor my mom's memory. Now, wait a minute. I'm not ready to go through it again. Now, listen to me. Only God is always good because he's sinless. Sorry. Folks, your children are not always good. I know that's hard to understand. Not hard for me, but... now, wait a minute. Did you know your husband is not always good? Matter of fact, you'd be satisfied if he was ever good. Your wife is not always good. No comments, fellas. Wait till after lunch. I'm trying to help you. Wait a minute. None of us are always good. None of us. But he is. We're all sinners. And quit judging God through your sinful eyes.
Amen.
Quit saying, well, if I were God, quit playing God. Sometimes God doesn't have any more control of it than you do. So quit blaming him for what isn't his. Number two, everybody doing all right? You better be glad there's only 4 points to this. Number two, we can praise God for his goodness even when all of life is falling down around us. We can praise God for his goodness even when everything is falling down around us. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's stupid if you get up in the middle of the night and you kick the bedpost and break your toe. Amen, Mrs. Myers. and you break your toe, you don't say, oh, praise God, I broke my toe. No, that's not what God's talking about. But God's good whether you broke your toe or not. God's goodness didn't change because you didn't see the bedpost there. Now, wait a minute. God said in Psalm 107, verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, verse 21, verse 31 say the exact same thing. But I want you to notice something. God says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, watch this, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's lost people. It didn't say the children of God. It said the children of men. Did you know God is good to lost people? God reigns on the just and the unjust. God allows food for lost people as well as he does saved people. God brought the sunrise for everybody, not just for you. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. God meets the needs of life even for lost people. How about we learn to praise God, listen to this statement, for him being good to somebody other than your stinking self. When we start saying, hey, God's been good to Brother Barnes. He gave him Mrs. Barnes.
Amen.
I'm not sure he was as good to Mrs. Barnes, but now wait a minute. We ought to praise God for his goodness to somebody else. I had a preacher this week contact me. He said, preacher, he said, I just got a $25,000 check for the church. I said, well, praise God. I didn't say, boy, I wish that was me. I didn't even think that. But I've been around people that would. Well, where's mine? I don't know. With an attitude like that, no wonder you didn't get it. It's not about what God does for me. I can get excited about somebody else getting the blessing of God.
Amen.
And when you truly get your eyes off yourself and quit looking at life through your own eyes, maybe, just maybe, you'd begin to see how good God is.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 33, verse number 5. Go back a few chapters. Psalm 33. Lick your finger and stick it in your neighbor's ear or something. Psalm 33, verse number 5. He that loveth righteousness and judgment, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Notice what God says. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That means this. As the flowers start coming up and the plants start coming and the blooms start coming out, that's the goodness of the Lord. That means the oil that we're supposed to be pumping in America and not buying from Russia and paying for them to kill the Ukrainians. You knew it was coming, didn't you? We're supposed to be thankful for the oil. Did you know we're not ever going to run out of oil?
Amen.
Oil is not a material that is going to be ever ending. The earth produces oil.
That's right.
It's not the composted matter of dead animals.
Amen.
Bodies don't turn to oil, they turn to dirt.
Amen.
It is impossible to get oil out of dead bodies.
That's right.
I don't care how much pressure you put on them. But because of the way the earth is structured and the heat from inside the earth and the chemical makeup of our earth, it continually produces. Do you ever wonder why some of those deep wells out in the ocean and everywhere else, they never give out? They've been pumping for hundreds of years because the earth keeps producing it. Mr. Gore has always been wrong. He's made billions off of it. Well, we need renewable energy. Yeah, it's called oil.
Amen.
It renews itself.
Amen.
No worry. God says the earth is full of his goodness. Look at the food you eat. It came from the earth.
Right.
Including the duck and the chicken that's in my freezer.
Amen.
The goodness of the Lord. Amen. The little deers and the big deers that we took care of this fall. The goodness of the Lord. The squirrels, amen, and the rabbits too. See, wait a minute, preacher. Yeah, that's the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, they're just so cute. Yeah, they're great on the plate too.
Amen.
Right next to taters and gravy, it's good.
Amen.
I'm talking about the sunrise. I'm talking about the view of the mountains that we have in this area. I'm talking about everything that is on the earth. God said, my goodness is revealed in all of those things. And God is good to us in even in the earth, in the fullness thereof. Look at Psalm 34. Just another page over. Psalm 34, verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I tell you something? The ability to taste and the food, that's the goodness of the Lord. Stinking Chinese took it away from me. I can still see. God says every taste that you have, it proves the goodness of God. The things that you see with your eyes. I love being up every day seeing the sunrise. God put this church property in the perfect spot for sunrise, let me tell you. We sit up high enough, and the way the light hits the mountains to the east of us here, some of the sunrises around here are just unbelievable every day. I love going out and seeing the goodness of God. I walked out this morning about 6:15 to go to the mail, and there's four deer back here in the side yard over here. And they looked at me and went, and I went back at them. I took a couple steps, and they decided to vacate the property. And then there was four deer over there. They weren't the same four deer. Then I got down to the mailbox, and five of them was across the street running through the cornfield crossed over there. And as I was walking back, three of the four that were over here had run around the church building and come out on that side, and they saw me again. I went, again. I was having fun this morning just going out to get the mail. God and I were having a good time. I said, God, thank you. That was the goodness of God. Look how, I texted Brother Drew Lard and said, I saw 13 deer this morning. He said, I haven't seen 13 deer in the last 6 months other than when I was in West Virginia. That's the goodness of God. God says all the beauty around us, we ought to be seeing his goodness.
Amen.
Second Chronicles 7:10 says that God is good to our nation. I'm going to make a statement here. God's been good to the United States of America. God is still good to the United States of America. No matter how bad we are right now, we're still better than most of the world. She might be sick and might need some life support for a while, but she's still the greatest country in the world. Maybe we ought to start thanking God for the freedoms we have in America rather than just complaining about what we are losing. Everything doesn't need to be good for me to, good to me, for God to be good. Well, all this garbage going on in America. Wait a minute. How about all the good things going on? You had the freedom to be at church today. You drove a car. You have a house. Most of you had hot water. Most of you had running water, and you didn't have to go out to the creek and bring it up in a bucket and put it in a fire to heat it up.
Amen.
Most of you, if not everybody in here, had indoor plumbing.
Right.
You didn't have to run down to the path and get to that little house to go to the bathroom this morning. Thank God. The only time you wished you would have had COVID, it was in the hot summer in the outhouse. Amen. You won't believe this. I preached in churches in the last 20 years or so that still had outhouses. I had one church in Ohio. I preached it. It had two double seaters, men's and ladies. It had four toilets outside. Back in the late 1990s, early 2000. I say, preacher, yeah, it was there. Trust me, ask my wife. She made sure when we went there, we stopped somewhere along the way before she got there. She wasn't going to do it. Mm-mm. Now, wait a minute. Everything doesn't have to be going good for me for God to be good. Maybe we ought to look around and see at how good God is for somebody else. When somebody else gets the car or the truck, maybe we ought to be thankful for them. Not say, boy, I wish that I had one. Ouch. Number three, I got to hurry. Prosperity has nothing to do with God's goodness. Let me say that again. Prosperity has nothing to do with God's goodness. God is just as good in the famine as he is in the days of plenty. Just because you live so much in debt and have to work overtime to pay your bills, that's not God's fault. I'm going to tell you something. People better be careful. Ringing up debt right now is not real wise. You better be paying it down because the way inflation's going. Well, I'm banking on my house, preacher. Yeah, and we saw what happened about 15 years ago when the bubble split too. God is just as good on the cloudy and rainy days as he is in the sunshine. You say, well, preacher, it's been so rainy and so cloudy, and I just feel so discouraged. Did you know that is all you got to do is get above the clouds? The sun still came up. Amen. If you ever taken off in a rainstorm in an airplane, get up about 12, 15,000 feet, and you get through the clouds, and it wasn't like this before. The sun's still up. You might have something between you and it that you can't see it, but it still came up. Well, I wished I could see it. Well, then why don't you get above the clouds in your own life? God didn't block it. The rain did. Psalm 73. Let me turn there very quickly here. Psalm 73, verse number 1. The Bible says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Did you know that God is good to America no matter what? Amen. God's even good to America with Nancy Pelosi, Chucky Schumer, Kamala Harris, AOC, and Dingbat Biden. God's just as good at death as he is at birth. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Don't blame me for that. Why don't you see what God has to say about it? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse number 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Everybody look at me for a moment. To the child of God, the day of death is better than the day of birth. Well, I just don't think it's fair that they died so early. Why? They're gone to heaven. Well, preacher, it just doesn't seem fair. Quit playing God. Oh, I didn't say we won't miss them, but God says that the day of one's death is the better than the day of their birth. Say why? Because when they go to heaven, all their problems are over. Brother James, Miss Lily's problems are over. She left you. I mean, she went to heaven. And he knows I'm kidding. Brother Matthew, Miss Paula, she's having the time of her eternity, let me tell you. Now, do we miss her? Of course we do. Miss Loretta, Jimbo's up there making my hunting shack. Building your house. And he's milking a few cows probably. Wait a minute. Brother Scott, your mom's in charge of all the administration up there, I'm sure. She's running something. And if she wasn't, she weaseled her way in to do it. That's Ann. I could go person to person to person to person in this room. My mama's rocking all the babies up there. Trust me. She's working in the heavenly nursery. I could go on and on and on and on. Can I tell you something? God's good.
Amen.
Why is it that we get, and I understand hurting when one of our loved ones passes, but it's not supposed to stop you.
That's right.
You're not supposed to be angry at God or anybody else. If they're saved, they're better off where they are. So, well, preacher, I just don't look at it that way. Then why don't you start looking at it from God's point of view instead of your own?
Amen.
I didn't say it. God did. God said, a good name is better than precious ointment. That means this. Good is also in the day of death than one's birth. You're more excited about a birth than you are a death. God says he gets more excited about somebody's death than he does their birth. Maybe we ought to look at it through God's perspective, not ours. Just because we don't prosper at the moment doesn't mean others are not. Did you know if it's cloudy here, it's sunshiny somewhere else? Huh. God's good even if the whole world doesn't prosper. God's goodness is not determined by the prosperity of people. God's goodness is based on the fact he is good.
Amen.
I've got to hurry up. Number four, and I'll finish. The Holy Spirit, not our circumstances, teaches and helps us see God's goodness. It is the Holy Spirit of God that teaches us his goodness. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What's the next one? Goodness. Huh. That means this. You might not see it as good, but the Holy Spirit of God does. So when you're complaining about how bad God's been to you, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's your spirit that is soured and sulking. The Holy Spirit can give you the goodness of God if you'll let him. Look at Ephesians, just a couple pages over. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Oh. So the goodness of the Holy Spirit and all goodness is in the Holy Spirit and all righteousness and all truth. It is in the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God and us obeying the Word of God that we see the goodness of God, even in bad situations. It is not by our works of righteousness. It is by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and by our obedience to both that helps us see the goodness of God. Boy, that's good stuff. Romans chapter 2, you need not turn there, but I'll read this to you. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4 says this, and there it is. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Did you know when you start seeing the goodness of God, you'll start changing the way you live? That word repent means you'll change direction. Brother Mike, when you were 26, 27 years old, a drunk, drug addict, drinking a Budweiser beer, set it down and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, he was saved no matter what. The change of direction came when he started seeing how good God was and how bad everything else was. And the more you see the goodness of God, the more you'll have to be turned from the world. Maybe our problem is we're like Lot's wife and we're leaving Sodom and we're turning around to see it. We want to talk about all that was there, even though we're going this direction, we're not looking in the direction we're supposed to look. Maybe if we'd get our eyes off our situation and get our eyes on Him, we'd start seeing His goodness. You see, we see God, how good God is, not what God gives us. It's not a matter, God's goodness isn't based on what we get, it's based on who He is. And as you get a hold of how good God is, you'll change what you are to get closer to Him. Boy, that's a good statement. When you see how good He is, you'll start seeing how selfish you are. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to be more like Him. I was on the phone for almost an hour and a half yesterday with an assistant pastor in a distant state. I'll not reveal the problem or anything. He's in a tough spot. Their church is in a tough spot. He's a younger man. He said, "Brother Bush, I just don't have anybody else to turn to." I said, "Young man, I love you." I said, "But I'm going to correct that statement." He said, "What did I say wrong?" I said, "It's time for you to let God be your pastor." He was driving. He said, "Give me a moment." He said, "I got to pull my car off the side of the road." He began to weep. And he said, "Brother Bush, would you pray for me?" He said, "I'm going about this in my flesh, not in the spirit, aren't I?" I said, "Your heart is sincere. But every once in a while, it's not how man sees it. It's how we got to let God have it." He said, I wish I was as close to Him as you are." I said, you're in the process. This is how you do it. I said, "You call me anytime, but I'm going to point you to Him, not to me." For an hour and a half, we talked. Had to pull his car off the side of the road under conviction. Not because of what I said, but because of what he realized and how good God is. Now, wait a minute. Seeing how good God is, not how good I get things, should want us to make us clean our own lives up so that we could have more of what He is. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to hell, God will take care of you, but you're going to still die and go to hell. It ought to make you want to go to heaven. If you've been saved and never obeyed Him in baptism, maybe we ought to obey Him so that we could get more of God's goodness. If we don't obey Him on the little stuff, how are we going to obey Him on the big stuff? Maybe if we're not a member of a good church, we ought to join the right church. Maybe we ought to start getting the gospel out to everybody, because folks, Jesus is coming back. We don't have much time. I know it's not always easy. Not everybody's going to like you. My wife knocked on the door yesterday. She said, "Now where's your church?" She told him, or told her. Then she looked at the gospel tract. She said, "Oh, I know him. I don't like him." My wife didn't tell her that she was married to me. I don't blame her. Now, wait a minute. She's heard some negative things that weren't true, but believed them. I don't think that's a bad person. I think they're a good person that heard wrong information and believes wrong information. Because to know me is to love me. Shut up. At least it wasn't your picture on there. Right. Okay, yeah. Take care of all the rats in the neighborhood for sure. maybe we ought to start obeying the Word of God. And as we obey it more, we'll see His goodness more. And as we see His goodness more, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to worry about separating from the world, because the closer to God you get, the farther from the world you'll get. Be. And you won't have to be worried about the wrong influences, because they'll leave you. God really is good all the time. He doesn't have to be good to me to be good. Life circumstances don't have to be good for God to be good, because God is good all the time. Oh, that men would praise Him for His goodness. Maybe we ought to realize we got to get our eyes off ourselves, quit looking at life through our eyes, and realize God's good no matter what's going on around me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say, preacher? Something in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Almost every hand. Thank you. You may put them down. Maybe God ought to get a little bit of loving today. Maybe the Christians that just raised their hands ought to be at this altar today giving God a little bit of praise for His goodness. Maybe we need to obey Him in a certain area of our life. Then let's do it. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it. You've been saved and baptized by immersion like join our church, we could take care of it. I'm not telling you to do that, and you don't do that to be good. But if God's working on you, let's just do it. It's by His Spirit, by His truth, and our obedience to it that we see the goodness of God, not by the circumstances that happen in our lives.